Journal Radio, the Midwest's radio home for the outdoors.
Online at sportingjournalradio.com.
Welcome to the show. Hopefully you have some working air conditioning. Holy smokes, it's been hot and dry. And what does that mean for fishing? Well, we'll get a fishing report from Joe Henry coming up later in the show to find out. Plus, Corey Loeffler from the DRC Call Company will talk hunt tests, tips for raising a puppy litter, which he's doing right now, and puppies are for sale. And we'll also find out what new might be in store for DRC Calls later this hour. Right now, John Armand from Ultimate Outdoor Adventures joins us from somewhere in North Dakota. John, thanks for coming on the show. Where are you at today?
I'm in Bismarck, just heading out of town to go do a little work on some food plots and some fencing and things like that.
All right, and I want to talk food plots here in a little bit, but you're a teacher, right?
Yes, sir. That's my full-time job, or my real job, I guess.
I'm surprised you're not a fishing guide.
No. That Kurt and Jason take care of that end of it. I'm not much of a fisherman. There's only one season, and that's deer season, and it's 365 days a year. And when they're fishing, I'm thinking about trying how to try to build bigger deer, and that's what I'm spending my time doing.
Well, and I want to talk deer, too, coming up later in the show. And it just seems like every teacher that I know spends their summers on the water. And that's what, they're like, well, why'd you get into teaching? And I expect some answer like, well, I just appreciate, having kids there and teaching them the ways of like, no, I do it because I can fish in the summer. That's what I get a lot of times.
I'm pushing for the 12-month school year. I want 6 weeks on and 3 weeks off so I can get more time off in the fall in other parts of the season and not just summer.
There you go. Sure. Well, you're in North Dakota right now, but recently you were in Canada on a spring bear hunt that I want you to tell us about. First off, how long have you been going up to Canada to hunt bears in the spring?
I want to say we have been on and off for 20 years. It hard in the last 10 years to 12 years. And, it's one of those things that as a school teacher, I look for hunts that I can do when I don't have to take off time from school because we don't get a lot of vacation time. And spring bear hunting is one of them, and antelope hunting is the second one. So I try to take advantage of it. And we headed back up to Canada this year, hunting with my daughter, Shelby, who's been a big part of the show the last probably 4 or 5 years. And I'll tell you what, we enjoy the bear hunting. It's a different game. And, I try to tell people that killing a bear is not a difficult thing. But when you step up the game and you're trying to kill a mature boar, it changes everything. And that's kind of what has happened to us the last couple of years. We've been on great bears, but the big bears have eluded us. And we had a couple opportunities that were just, if we had been using a rifle, Shelby would have probably shot a Boone and Crockett. But we're bow hunting, and it was one of those deals that bear kind of knows you're there. And they don't get big for being stupid.
Sure, and I want to talk about those opportunities that you had this year. But looking back, if you've been doing it on and off for about 20 years, how have you done in the past? And tell me maybe about a past hunt that really stands out for you.
Well, I started bear hunting. It was kind of a whim. We did it one time, and we shot bears. And it was a good hunt, but we didn't know anything. And later on, like when we started the show, we were looking for places to go, found a place and went up north. And the first time we went up there, it was one of those magical times because we went out and in one evening we shot 3 out of the 5 guys shot bears. And I happened to shoot a 400-pound cinnamon bear from the ground.
Wow.
Which was, it was exciting in itself. But the fact that your brother is running the camera for you, you're sitting on the ground, you had multiple bears within feet of you, and this giant Volkswagen comes flying in and you're getting ready to go to full draw and your brother says, I'm out of tape.
Oh no.
So later on I told him there's a little number up there that tells you how much time is left, but that was so we have a bear of a lifetime sitting in front of us. He doesn't know how to change the camera tape, so I have to grab the tape, and I start peeling it away, and that's a lesson learned, that you always have a second tape ready. And he heard the crunching of the plastic on the tape and turned and looked right at us and started coming to us.
Oh, boy.
And I heard the safe of the shotgun go off, and I'm thinking, oh, gosh. my brother's going to end up having to kill this bear because he's going to try to eat us. But he ended up turning around, going back to the bait. I made a good shot and ended up with a bear of a lifetime. And I don't think I had probably but a couple minutes of sleep that night because we had a great time celebrating. And it was just a fun trip.
Wow, John Armand, our guest, Ultimate Outdoor Adventures. So that worked out for you. Got it on tape. Is that something we can watch on one of the Ultimate Outdoor Adventure shows?
Well, we do, and we have it. It's a show over the past, and we're kind of behind the eight ball. You know, we're a little older, so we just started up a YouTube channel. And if you go to our Facebook page or to our website, you can get to our YouTube channel. We're trying to get enough subscribers so we can name it, you know, Team UOA, but right now it's just YouTube something.
Sure.
But if you search on YouTube, you'll find it, and it's got that bear hunt from the past and probably three or four seasons, some of our best shows from the past that you can go online and watch them.
Well, let's talk about bear hunting in the spring in general up in, you know, were you in Ontario or Manitoba? Where were you guys?
We were in Saskatchewan.
And
we've hunted Saskatchewan. Yeah, we've hunted Saskatchewan, we've hunted Manitoba, and we've hunted Ontario. So they each have their own, bear hunting season, so we kind of travel back and forth sometimes.
Why is there a spring hunt? Some people think that might be kind of strange to hear about a bear hunt in the spring.
Well, you know, Minnesota, as you know, has a fall bear hunting season. And a lot of the fall versus spring bear hunting is all political. It's all about they're afraid that sow is going to get shot, or people don't like people hunting when sows have come out of the den with their cubs. But springtime is just always been a great time to get out and bear hunt because there's not a lot of forage that is growing. And most of the bear hunting you do is by baiting because, the bush, the Canadian bush is awfully thick and it's not made to spot stock and their bear density is very high. So you set up your baits and it really does give you a great chance to look at bears. It's ethical. You get to watch them. You get to take a good shot. If a sow does come in, you usually give bears a few minutes, when they come in and you can usually tell if it's a sow. Or a boar, and a lot of times the sow will have their cubs. So I guess it's just kind of a preference, and I know that Ontario backed away from their spring bear hunting because of the, I'll call them the left-wing nutcases that are against spring bear hunting. And I think they just started to open it up again because of the amount of nuisance bears that are starting to get into homes, get into areas because they have not been able to get a grip on the population.
Sure. Well, let's talk about this spring. You're up in Canada. You got your daughter with. You're seeing bears, but did you have a particular bear picked out?
Yeah, we did. We it's one of those deals. Trail cameras are the greatest thing in the world, but they're also your worst enemy. And we got to look at the covert cameras and see that the guide said that he was pushing, he was probably over 600 pounds.
Whoa.
And it was going to be a 21-inch skull. Wow. And these guys, the reason we go with them is because they work hard, but they weigh their bears. They don't lie to you. When someone knocks down a 385-pound bear, it's exactly 385 pounds because they weighed it. And this guy that was looking at this bear has killed several Boone and Crockett's. And he was just saying, this is a bear of a lifetime. And so Shelby and I sat the bait, had multiple bears come in, but not the one we were looking for. And you start to just second guess yourself and think, maybe I should jump ship and go to a different bait. And they're believers in sitting that same bait. If there's a big bear there, you sit there. We're up there during the rut, and hopefully he'll show back up. And we were lucky enough, he did show up, but it was a fleeting moment. He popped his head into the bait and looked at us, and looked right at us, and he knew we were there, and backed out. And we checked trail cameras again that evening when we left, and noticed that the bears were hitting the baits from 4 o'clock in the morning on. So my daughter woke me up 3:30 the next morning. We got out there on stand, and we sat solar until noon, and had our second opportunity at him, and he showed up again out of nowhere, and it looked like he was in a commit, and the sow chased him off the bait.
Mm.
So it was one of those deals that, better to be lucky than good, and we were neither that day.
Well, the best part of that story, John, may have been when you said at 3:30, my daughter woke me up. How great is that?
I'm telling you, it was, as a dad, it made me awfully proud, because if anybody knows my daughter, Shelby, she is not a morning person. And we had, my daughter was in camp along with Katie Cronus and another young lady, and those two girls hunted harder than any of the guys in camp. Katie was up four mornings. I don't think she got more than an hour of sleep every night, and was on base the next day.
Wow.
And Shelby did the same thing, and those girls wanted, you know, they put in their time, you know. The one gentleman from Utah came in, sat 7 hours, shot a 385-pound bear, and we kind of laughed at it because he was kind of complaining that he sat 7 hours and only saw one bear. And we have sat hundreds upon hundreds of hours trying to kill one of those big bears. So, you know, sometimes you're lucky and sometimes you're snake bit, and that's kind of where we're at. But I guarantee you, when fall rolls around, as much as I want to go deer hunting opening weekend, we're going back up north and trying to kill that big bear.
Wow. Well, 600-pounder, 600-plus, you don't see those every day. John Armin is our guest here. John, do you have a few more minutes? Can you stick around a little bit longer?
Absolutely.
All right, more with John coming up. Plus, we'll have some reports from around the region to help you catch fish with Joe Henry and Corey Loeffler from the DRC Call Company talks raising a puppy litter. It's all coming up on Sporting Journal Radio.
Your kickoff to summer is set. Moan Dance, Jammin' Country Fest 11 with Thomas Rhett, Old Dominion, Tarmalee, Danielle Bradbury, William Michael Morgan, Eric Paslin, Drew Baldridge, Dan and Shay, and Lanco. Call 877-MOON-JAM or visit jammincountry.com. The only country music festival that gets you a front row view. Moan Dance, Jammin' Country Fest 11, June 23rd and 24th, Walker, Minnesota.
Hey, anglers, looking for a destination where walleyes, fresh air, and fish fries are a way of life? Look no further than the famous waters of Lake of the Woods. From Bedette and the Rainy River to the main lake up to the Northwest Angle. Here, you'll enjoy the best walleye catch rate in the state. Maybe you'll pursue world-class sturgeon, pike, or muskies. Plus, you'll find lots of full-service resorts offering charter boats, delicious meals, and lots of Minnesota nice. Come experience the walleye capital of the world. Come experience Lake of the Woods. Catch the details at lakeofthewoodsmn.com.
Minnesota's company jam event of the summer is Moon Dance Jam 26. The lineup is building, and we're set to rock with the Steve Miller Band.
Live,
Peter Frampton,
Hailstorm,
Melissa Etheridge,
The Pretty Reckless,
Better Than Ezra,
Vince Neil of Motley Crue,
Starship featuring Mickey Thomas,
Jack Russell's Great White,
Dorothy,
Cowboy Mouth, and more.
Jammer, call 877-MOON-JAM or visit moondancejam.com today. Moon Dance Jam 26, July 20th through the 22nd, Walker, Minnesota.
Lac qui Parle is one of Minnesota's premier waterfowl hunting locations, with 50 to 100,000 geese staging annually. And Mid-Migration Outfitters offers guided duck and goose hunting around the Lac qui Parle area. Call now to book your hunt or visit MidMigrationOutfitters.com. That's MidMigrationOutfitters.com. That's MidMigrationOutfitters.com for guided duck and goose hunting around the Lac qui Parle area in western Minnesota. We're back, Sporting Journal Radio. I'm Brett Amundson. My guest is John Armin. He's from Ultimate Outdoor Adventures, which you guys call Bismarck home, right?
Yes, sir.
Now, how you think of Bismarck, what a great area if you like the outdoors, especially if you like to fish. You got the Missouri River there, and it seems like Kurt Serrato there from the show, pretty much lives on Lake Sakakawea and has it pretty dialed in.
Well, they do, and Kurt is the one that spends probably more time on the river, but Jason, who is a school teacher, and exactly how you were talking about guys that like to fish, so that's Jason, and he spends pretty much all summer up at the lake with his father and his family, fishing tournaments and just getting out on the lake. So he's the go-to guy when we want to go up on that lake.
What about the Missouri right around Bismarck there?
Well, you know what, actually, this year started out, I thought, pretty good from the reports I heard, but one of the problems we encountered is that the amount of snowpack in Montana and the level of the lake, they're dumping immense amount of water. There's not a sandbar in the Bismarck area. It's bank to bank right now, but guys are still catching fish. They're just not big fish. My brother, who is, you wouldn't call much of a fisherman, but he likes to fish, has been out. And it's not hard to catch your limit of, 16, 18-inch fish, so they're nice fish. But like I said, the water's made it a little tougher because they've released so much, and I think it's going to continue to do that all summer.
Well, I know Jason and Kurt are the fish guys. You're the deer guys. So let's talk fish a little bit, or let's talk deer for a little bit. What a great area to hunt deer over there. And you're busy getting ready, right? I mean, you're planting some food plots. Is that right?
Yes, I have. I've been, before we went to Canada, I got most of, I was planting a lot of corn and soybeans. And I actually garnered some sugar beets from out east, which are like gold and not easy to get a hold of and not very cheap. But got a few of those in the ground, and right now we're just battling with a drought. You know, with all the snow we had all winter long, that's our saving grace right now, that our subsoil moisture was good. But we have not had a drop of rain in our area for the last month. So we need a rain. We need a rain right now badly so some of these crops can start growing. And it's one of those deals that, as a deer hunter, it's not that big a deal, but our farmers and ranchers are struggling right now. I hope it rains for them. And secondly, I hope it rains for ourselves, the guys that like to put seed in the ground for the deer. But, you know, I'm hoping things will turn out. Things are popping out of the ground, and we just need a timely rain right now. And if we don't, one of the things we do is we hunt water sources, and I'm going down to the ranch today. We have a pond that we built that we pump water into. There is an area that has no water, and that's a great attractant to where you can put your cameras up and kind of take an inventory of what deer are in the area. And I'm excited to get out there and start putting cameras up and seeing what kind of antler growth we have going right now.
Talking with John Armand from Ultimate Outdoor Adventures, based in Bismarck. You talked about having some beets. Do you plant a mixture of things, or do you have things that you plant later in the season, or do you kind of stick with one thing?
Well, it's kind of a mixture. Our go-to in this area, because of our winters and the snow, is corn, you know, standing corn for late season. Early season, I like to plant soybeans. They love soybeans, and the soybeans seem to grow quite well in our sandy soil. So that's kind of my go-to hunting plot in September. And then we also will plant some of the brassicas, which have your turnips and your sugar beets and different things like that. So when it freezes, they seem to hammer those. So we kind of do a little bit of everything. Yeah, we have some alfalfa fields down there that we have irrigated that the farmer has. So we have kind of a mixture of everything, and it's a nice mixture for us.
You talked about irrigators. That's what you, because of the lack of the rain, are you going to go out and water them yourself?
Well, you know, it's almost to that point. It's just tough. I'm trying to figure out how to do it. I have a river right next to it, but trying to find a pump that will pump up that grade that's not going to cost me $5,000, and I might just start filling up. We've got some big 10,000-gallon tanks and set them up with a little pump on the end of it and put a sprinkler head on there and just keep moving it around so we get some of those plots to grow, because, like I said, right now we are dry. Dry as I've ever seen it this time of year with the amount of moisture we had over the winter. So we're kind of in the hurt bag right now.
You know, last year, last fall, we had so much water here in western Minnesota, and I know it seemed like the southern half of North Dakota was pretty dry. A lot of South Dakota was pretty dry, but then there was a lot of snow this winter. And then it was a real wet, kind of a real wet spring. We still had a lot of moisture in the fields here this spring. But boy, the last couple of weeks, it's been hot and dry. Did you guys? Windier, I think, for you guys than us. We definitely had some wind, but you know, the Dakotas, nothing there to stop it. And although you've got a few hills, I guess, and trees over where you are, but has it been real dry this spring for you too?
It has. You know, when we came back from Canada, when we came to the Minot area, the Lac Seul area, it's green and plush and gorgeous. And, the closer you get to the Bismarck area, and talking to some of my friends out west, it's been dry. The rain has been missing them out there. But it dried out so fast because we've had temperatures up to 90 degrees already. And most of the days we've had 20 to 25 mile an hour winds. So it is taking any moisture whatsoever we have right out of the ground, and it's blowing some of that topsoil away. So it's been a tough spring.
John Armand, our guest, Ultimate Outdoor Adventures. Just a couple of minutes left. North Dakota Game and Fish offering, 55,000 some deer gun licenses this year. They say that the deer numbers are starting to grow again. Are you seeing that where you're at? Are you starting to get more numbers out there?
Well, you know, that's a kind of a touchy subject. Where we're at, I'm going to agree. But I think we're making a mistake again. We had a tough winter, and a lot of guys that I've talked to lost a lot of deer again. And in our area, I probably found anywhere from a dozen to two dozen deer dead in our local area. But we could afford to lose a few. We're in an area that had a pocket of good deer. But I think some of the places to the east of us where there's not as much cover, there's not the hills, and they only have the shelter belts, those got filled in rather fast with snow. And I think they had a mortality rate that was pretty high. So I don't know. I don't like to second guess the Game and Fish, but I sometimes think that we make some mistakes. And I think as sportsmen, we'd understand if, just like we did out in the Badlands where we stopped doe hunting for mule deer for a few years, and the numbers came back. And I think we could do that in some of these areas. And I know it'd be a sacrifice for a few guys, and it's tough, but I'm not sure where we sit with all these deer numbers. I think you're going to hear some guys complaining that their numbers are down.
Well, let's talk about the TV show. When and where can we watch Ultimate Outdoor Adventures?
Well, we will be starting right now, I guess, on Midco Sports. If you have Midco, Midcontinent, anywhere in North Dakota, South Dakota, Minnesota, Wisconsin, on their sports channel, they run us year-round. They have us on Sundays and, I think, Mondays. And then we'll be starting back up on Fox out in the eastern part of the state and NBC in the western part of the state in October again. And then you can always catch us online. I'm trying to dump more and more shows onto our YouTube channel so that it seems like the way things are going nowadays, it's multimedia and people like watching things on their phones and their smart TV. So we're trying to catch up with the world around us.
Yeah, it's always changing, that's for sure. TeamUOA.com is the website. John Armand, thanks for being on Sporting Journal Radio.
All right, man. Thank you very much, and have a great day.
Coming up, we got Joe Henry with the Lake of the Woods Fishing Report, and Corey Loeffler talks raising puppies. It's all on the way on Sporting Journal Radio.
Minnesota's company Gemini event of the summer is Moon Dance Jam 26. The lineup is building, and we're set to rock with the Steve Miller Band.
Live.
Peter Frampton.
Hailstorm.
Melissa Etheridge.
The Pretty Reckless.
Better Than Ezra.
Vince Neil of Motley Crue.
Starship featuring Mickey Thomas.
Jack Russell's Great White.
Dorothy.
Cowboy Mouth and more.
Jammer. Call 877 Moon Jam or visit moondancejam.com today. Moon Dance Jam 26. July 20th through the 22nd, Walker, Minnesota.
Lac qui Parle is one of Minnesota's premier waterfowl hunting locations, with 50 to 100,000 geese staging annually. And Mid-Migration Outfitters offers guided duck and goose hunting around the Lac qui Parle area. Call now to book your hunt or visit MidMigrationOutfitters.com. That's MidMigrationOutfitters.com. That's MidMigrationOutfitters.com for guided duck and goose hunting around the Lac qui Parle area in western Minnesota.
Your kickoff to summer is set. Moan Dance Jam and Country Fest 11 with Thomas Rhett, Old Dominion, Parmalee, Danielle Bradbury, William Michael Morgan, Eric Passler, Drew Baldridge, Dan and Shane, and Lanco. Call 877 Moon Jam or visit jamandcountry.com. The only country music festival that gets you a front row view. Moan Dance Jam and Country Fest 11, June 23rd and 24th, Walker, Minnesota.
Hey anglers, looking for a destination where walleyes, fresh air, and fish fries are a way of life? Look no further than the famous waters of Lake of the Woods. From Bedette and the Rainy River to the main lake up to the Northwest Angle. Here you'll enjoy the best walleye catch rate in the state. Maybe you'll pursue world-class sturgeon, pike, or muskie. Plus you'll find lots of full-service resorts offering charter boats, delicious meals, and lots of Minnesota nice. Come experience the walleye capital of the world. Come experience Lake of the Woods. Catch the details at lakeofthewoodsmn.com.
Listening to Sporting Journal Radio.
We're back, Sporting Journal Radio. I'm Brett Amundson, and we're going to talk fishing right now. It's been hot, and almost like we're in midsummer, and I want to find out what fishing patterns are like, if we're starting to get into more summer patterns or what. So we got Joe Henry from Lake of the Woods joining us now here on the show. Joe, are you keeping cool right now?
Oh, man, I'll tell you, you know, you get on that lake, and it always is a little bit cooler on the lake.
I suppose, and being up in northern Minnesota, it's amazing. You know, I'm down in, I'm not going to say southern Minnesota, kind of right on that southern central line in the western part of the state, and it's just been just sweltering out here lately, but it's amazing. It can be a little bit cooler when you get that far north, isn't it?
Yeah, you know, and it's farther north, and of course, being on the water helps, and then even just all the plants and trees and mean, it all kind of adds up. And, you know, it can get hot, especially on the calm days. But normally there's just a touch of breeze, and it feels pretty darn good, to be honest with you.
Well, how's fishing been up there? I've been seeing some pictures of full coolers and lots of nice fish getting caught.
It's you know, we got a great lake. Fishing's been very, very good. You know, the charter boats have been going out and just catching a lot of fish. And then up at the northwest angle, same deal. You know, the river this time of year, there's local walleyes in the river that stay there. But, I mean, the river for walleye fishing is kind of a second resort. You know, if it's a real hard blow day and you don't want to go battle the waves in the big lake, you slide into the river and you can make a good day of it. But it's probably not your first choice. You know what I'm saying?
So with the weather the way it's been, with it warming up like this, with it sunny, have patterns changed at all?
They're starting to, yeah. And, you know, normally you can go out and still catch fish on jigs, and that's kind of the go-to. But I'll tell you something, crawler harnesses, or I should say spinners, because some people pull a leech or a minnow, harnesses with a bottom bouncer have been very effective. And you know, one of the things we see happen is warmer weather happens and warmer water happens, those fish will, in some cases, some will still relate to structure, but some will get out on some of those big mud flat basins. And, you know, when they start getting a little bit scattered, I'll tell you, being able to go at 1.25 miles per hour pulling a harness can be very advantageous rather than just sitting still or barely moving. So pulling a harness right now is really effective. And, you know, we see that going into the fall, quite honestly. Again, it's one tool in an angler's tool belt that's super effective. Doesn't mean you have to do it all the time. Doesn't mean that it works all the time. But I'll tell you, it's very consistent.
Joe Henry, our guest, Sporting Journal Radio, talking about fishing in the summer, fishing on Lake of the Woods. Obviously, you talk colors on Lake of the Woods, you start talking gold and things like that a lot of times. But when you got a spinner on, is there a color that you like to use with that? Do you have beads on? Is there any special little tips or tactics you like to use with spinners?
Oh, yeah, there sure is. In fact, I pull a lot of harnesses when I'm tournament angling as well. But, you know, usually like a 2-ounce bouncer is what I like. And I'll tell you, a 2-ounce bouncer, some people say that's pretty heavy.
Heavy, yeah.
But you know what? I'll tell you something. When you're pulling a 2-ounce bouncer, you can fish that bouncer at a 45-degree angle, which is the key. You don't want that bouncer way behind the boat. You want about a 45-degree angle. And then what you do is you can touch bottom, but you don't want your bouncer dragging bottom. Touch it. Make sure you're in close contact with the bottom once in a while. Let it down. Hope I felt it. If you can't feel it, you see that you're coming down a drop off, a little more line out. But pulling at about 1.25 miles per hour, give or take, will give you that 45-degree angle swing. And you can use a 2-ounce bouncer in 5 feet of water down to 30 feet of water. Really, really effective. You can work drop offs. You can sparse weeds, rocks. And then, you know, as far as harnesses go, I like using about a 4 to 5 foot harness isn't the norm. Certainly you want some beads on there. And it's cool because, you know, you can buy good harnesses now. You can make them, or you can buy good harnesses, you know, Berkeley and Lindy and VMC. And I mean, they all got real good harnesses. There's private label. Tom's Tackle has good harnesses. And what you do is you can get those beads and the blade to match the hatch, to match the color of water you're fishing, whether it's clear or stained like Lake of the Woods. And, you know, for me, man, the pink and gold beads with a hammered gold blade or a pink blade or sometimes even a hammered silver blade will be the ticket. Those are the go-tos.
Big Traverse is described sometimes as like a big mud bowl up there. Is there how deep does it get? Is there a depth you look for, or is mobility the key?
Yeah, well, I think, you know, when you're going on that mud basin, sometimes you have a starting point where the bait shop people or the resort people might say, well, I'll tell you, they've been getting a lot of fish out in 31 feet, let's say. Well, you have a starting point. You're going to go and you're going to see a lot of boats out there. Those boats are probably catching fish. If you want to fish around those boats, you get out on the edge of the wind. There's plenty of room. At the same time, I like getting way off the boats. I think that those boats sometimes push fish away. So I'll get a ways away from them as a starting point. And also watch your electronics. Now, there's going to be sometimes, Brett, where you see walleyes on the screen and they're there. There's other times where you can get out on a pack of fish and they are glued so tight to the mud, or in some cases, they actually have little channels in the mud where they swim and you cannot mark those fish. Sometimes you just have to start fishing and it'll be game on.
Well, if people want to get up there, whether they want to go out on a launch or bring their own boat, if they want to stay at a resort, where do they find out more information, Joe?
You know what? Best thing, go to their website. It's at lakeofthewoodsmn.com.
Hi, this is Sporting Journal Radio. I'm Brett Amundson, and I've always heard that using babies and puppies gives you higher ratings, so that's what we're going to do right now. Corey Loeffler from the DRC Call Company is on with us, and Corey, you sort of have both, don't you?
We do.
Let's talk pups. Bella, your chocolate just had a litter of 11?
11 Labrador Retrievers, and interestingly enough, 6 of them are black, and 5 of them are yellow.
You were kind of live streaming the birth, and it seemed like when she got to around 8 or 9 that it might be done, and then more just kept popping out of there.
Yeah, she started having puppies around 2 to 3 in the morning last week, actually, about Thursday, and yeah, they just kept on coming, about 1 every hour until 4 in the afternoon, and when it was all said and done, we had 11 puppies on the ground. They were all perfect, alive, healthy, eating, squirming, squawking, so it was quite a fun day. Long day, but a lot of fun.
Yeah, so they're about 9 or 10 days old now. So when they were born, you knew it was close? Did you just stay up all night, or what did you do?
No, our bedroom is pretty close to the garage, and we know our dogs very well as far as we spent a lot of time with them, and we knew it was getting pretty close. Gestation was just about done. Noticed a little bit of peculiar activity that night. She was doing a little bit of nesting, so we thought, well, it's probably going to be today or tomorrow when she has these puppies.
So the father is Boone, and he's been pretty busy lately.
Yeah, in more than one way, I guess. We've been running a lot of hunt tests the last couple summers. Last summer was the AKC, American Kennel Club's master hunt tests, and he got his master title last year. So now this year we're switching gears a little bit. We're over in the UKC, United Kennel Club, and the HRC, Hunting Retriever Club, is a subgroup or the hunt test portion of the UKC. We're running in the Finnish tests there, which would be the highest level, highest local level, other than going to a national level in the UKC. We're running the Finnish tests. We ran our first couple last weekend over in the Arrowhead Retriever Club grounds over in Mount Iron, Minnesota, right by Virginia. We had a great time. It was their first HRC test. It was Boone and I's first HRC test. So a lot of firsts last weekend. And we got to bring home a couple of ribbons. We got a couple passes, so all was well.
Talking with Corey Loeffler here from the DRC Call Company about his black lab, Boone, who just had some puppies with his chocolate lab, Bella. And we're going to find out more about those puppies coming up. We'll talk more about Boone and these hunt tests. And we'll even talk about the DRC Call Company a little bit, too. It's all on the way here on Sporting Journal Radio.
Take me fishing and show me how to drive the boat.
Take me fishing, so I can tell you what a great dad you've been.
Take someone you love out on the water and see where the water takes you.
Take me fishing because I miss my boy.
Rediscover the joy of boating and fishing. Get information and get going at takemefishing.org.
Hey, anglers, looking for a destination where walleyes, fresh air, and fish fries are a way of life? Look no further than the famous waters of Lake of the Woods. From Bedette and the Rainy River to the main lake up to the Northwest Angle. Here, you'll enjoy the best walleye catch rate in the state. Maybe you'll pursue world-class sturgeon, pike, or muskies. Plus, you'll find lots of full-service resorts offering charter boats, delicious meals, and lots of Minnesota nice. Come experience the walleye capital of the world. Come experience Lake of the Woods. Catch the details at lakeofthewoodsmn.com.
Minnesota's company jam event of the summer is Moon Dance Jam 26. The lineup is building, and we're set to rock with the Steve Miller Band.
Live.
Peter Frampton.
Hailstorm.
Melissa Etheridge.
The Pretty Reckless.
Better Than Ezra.
Vince Neil of Motley Crue.
Starship featuring Mickey Thomas.
Jack Russell's Great White.
Dorothy.
Cowboy Mouth and more.
Jammer. Call 877 Moon Jam or visit moondancejam.com today. Moon Dance Jam 26. July 20th through the 22nd. Walker, Minnesota.
Lac qui Parle is one of Minnesota's premier waterfowl hunting locations, with 50 to 100,000 geese staging annually. And Mid-Migration Outfitters offers guided duck and goose hunting around the Lac qui Parle area. Call now to book your hunt or visit MidMigrationOutfitters.com. That's MidMigrationOutfitters.com. That's MidMigrationOutfitters.com for guided duck and goose hunting around the Lac La Parle area in western Minnesota.
Your kickoff to summer is set. Moan Dance, Jammin' Country Fest 11 with Thomas Rhett, Old Dominion, Parmalee, Danielle Bradbury, William Michael Morgan, Eric Passler, Drew Baldridge, Dan and Shay, and Lancome. Call 877-MOON-JAM or visit jammincountry.com. The only country music festival that gets you a front row view. Moan Dance, Jammin' Country Fest 11, June 23rd and 24th, Walker, Minnesota.
Now is the time to start thinking about chasing big walleyes on Devil's Lake. Get on the fish at Hay Bale Heights Campground and Resort. Hay Bale Heights makes it easy for you to make memories on legendary Devil's Lake with guided fishing and lodging packages. Or bring your own boat and rent one of their cabins on East Bay. Hay Bale Heights offers a private marina, fish cleaning station, and the opportunity to relax and enjoy your bucket list trip to Devil's Lake, North Dakota. To book your trip, visit haybaleheights.com. That's haybaleheights.com.
You're listening to Sporting Journal Radio.
We're back, Sporting Journal Radio. I'm Brett Amundson. Corey Loeffler is our guest right now with the DRC Call Company. Boone, I mean, we started these hunt tests, last year or the year before? I mean, I don't want to say he's a newcomer to them by any means, but he kind of advanced to the top pretty quickly, it sounds like.
Yeah, he did. We set our goals at a master hunt title last year in the AKC. Early on in the year, I trained almost nonstop for it, every single day, anywhere between 2 to 8 hours a day. Trained nonstop, and basically we got a little ahead of ourselves, I want to say, in that neither of us had been to a hunt test, and we signed up for that master test right away. So not very common thing to do, but I knew Boone had a lot of talent. He had it figured out. He hunts so much. He's got a ton of memory and marking memory and a lot of talent. So I knew he could do it. I just had to learn the game and learn the ropes myself. So we entered into that first test, the master test, and we actually came out with a pass out of the deal, one of six that he got last year, and he needed six passes to title. So we got that sixth pass late July last summer, which gave him the title, and we're kind of on to different things this summer to go and shoot for some more titles with him.
Well, and that's what I wanted to bring up. I mean, obviously he's a great dog, but the fact that you spent that much time getting him prepared and getting yourself prepared, just the hours in the backyard training, and then of course all the hours in the field in the fall and in the spring doing some actual hunting, that's probably the biggest key for success in these hunt tests, right?
Yeah, definitely. Just the exposure to different situations and preparing him and his brain and his stress management to handle just a variety of different situations that goes on. So typically in one of these tests that we're running, either last year in the AKC Master stuff or this year in the HRC finish test, you're going to probably see what's known as a triple. And that would be where Boone's sitting beside me in a healing position, sitting right on my left, watching out over a setup or a field, usually like a CRP field type of a situation. And there'll be three birds thrown in succession, 1, 2, and 3. He doesn't go retrieve them until the third bird hits the ground and the judge gives the okay. And then I send him out and go and retrieve them. So he has to watch and mark all three of these birds that could have fallen behind a hill or in a pond or in tall grass and that sort of thing. And then when he gets done doing that, then we'll fetch one or two blind retrieves, and those are retrieves that are placed kind of behind his back, so he doesn't see where they're placed. They'll be placed by an orange ribbon on the ground or something like that that I can see. He can't see it, and then we have to work as a team. I have to get him from point A, which is right by my side, to point B, which would be the bird, the dead bird or the dummy out in the field with a whistle and different hand signals and that sort of thing, and help them out.
Talking with Corey Loeffler here from the DRC Call Company about his black lab Boone, who just had some puppies, a litter of 11 Labrador puppies there from Boone and Bella. And I wish I would have done at least one litter with my lab Mika, but I was worried about the time it takes to make sure everything goes smoothly. And I just with the job that I was doing, I didn't feel I could give it sufficient time because there's a lot of work that goes into it, isn't there, Corey?
Yeah, definitely. And I'm pretty fortunate in that I have a really supportive family behind me, and or maybe I'm behind them. I'm not really sure how it works. But Leah, my 12-year-old daughter, is, what's her title? Puppy mom when she's 12 years old. But she's the one that is going to do all the early neurological stimulation stuff with the puppies. There's a lot that goes into breeding and raising the super dog. And we have had really good luck with it in the past with the program that we have, but it involves daily handling and different stimulation activities with every puppy just to get some developmental, neurological developmental processes underway and give the puppies kind of a jump start at life and in hopes that they're going to be super dogs one day and easily trainable, whether it's hunting, duck and goose hunting, or as service dogs, or maybe drug dogs, bomb dogs, something like that.
Well, I noticed you had a pop-up canopy, one that I think I recognize from Game Fair, and a kid's swimming pool.
Yeah, that works out pretty good. The canopy provides a little bit of shade for the pups, and the swimming pool is easy to clean out, and Bella likes going in there. The puppies can't get out of the pool, but Bella, the mom, can, easily step over the pool, go in and out, feed the puppies, and have a little bit of free time to herself. Get away from those little brats, all 11 of them.
You're also pretty careful about what you feed your dogs, and I don't want to say it's unorthodox by any means, but you had a special recipe whipped up for these pups, didn't you?
We like to supplement Bella's feeding regimen with as much natural food as possible, so her dry dog food is going to stay the same at Nutrisource Performance. It's got good fat and good protein levels in that. It's a real high protein, high fat, real potent kind of a dog food. And then I added a bunch of snow goose fat that I harvested up in Saskatchewan just a few weeks ago when I was up there snow goose hunting. I brought a whole bunch of that home, so she's got that to eat. And we also cook a ton of pasta for her, and that helps in milk production. So our goal is to have a healthy batch of puppies and Bella to come out of the weaning process as healthy as possible. So she eats about roughly 5 times as much food as she did before she was pregnant. So it's kind of an astonishing amount that she can process through her body every day.
So speaking of Saskatchewan, you're up there filming for a TV show, right? Who are you up there with?
Yeah, we were up there with Nick Hoffman. He is originally from around Anoka, Minnesota, lives in Nashville now. He's lived in Nashville for the last quite a few years. I guess he was Kenny Chesney's fiddle player for about 13 years. And now he's got a TV show on the Outdoor Channel called Nick's Wild Ride. We were up there filming with him, and we got into a lot of snow geese and got some just amazing footage, a lot of slow motion stuff. So I'm really excited for that TV show to come out here later, maybe into the fall or this winter on the Outdoor Channel.
Very cool. Talking with Corey Loeffler here, DRC Call Company. Just had a litter of pups, and let's get back to the pups for just a second. What's the first piece of advice you'd give somebody that's thinking about having their own litter?
Having your own litter of pups? Well, make sure that your stud dog is of sound mind and sound health. Also, your female is the same way. You want to start with really good genetics, real healthy genetics before you go into it. So get your health tests done with your Labrador retrievers. A lot of the common health tests would be EIC, exercise-induced collapse. CNM is neurological health tests that you can do. They're all genetic health tests. It's just a simple cheek swab, and then you send those cheek swabs into the laboratory, and they tell you if your dog is clear or a carrier or is affected by certain disease. You can have them hips and elbows checked, the eyes with PRA and PRCD, and there's just a whole lot of crazy names and different abbreviations in there, but definitely a must when you're you know, looking to take on that huge responsibility of introducing a litter of lab puppies or any other puppies into the world, make sure you do your research.
You got 11 of them right now, some black ones, some yellow ones. Have you sold any of them yet?
Yeah, quite a few of them are sold. There's still a bunch left for sale. So if anyone's looking for a puppy, you can look me up on Facebook or send a message over to me by email. Facebook would be a DRC Call Company. Or my email is cory@drccalls.com.
And speaking of those calls, I am the lucky owner of a limited edition Hedgewood Psycho Goose call that Corey, I love it. The sound is great, the feel of it. And this is going to sound a little weird, but I love the smell of that of that call. It's a sweet call, and do you have more plans for more wood calls at all at DRC?
Yeah, I just got done finishing a batch of some awesome quilted redwood calls. Limited edition. You cannot buy this stuff anymore at all. It's illegal to harvest this stuff. The wood that I started with, the blanks, have been sitting in storage for 10 years, I do believe. So they were cut a long time ago. Limited run, absolutely exquisite wood. Pretty excited about those. Also, I've got some black walnut that look phenomenal, really dark wood with some amazing grain and marbling in it. I've got some mahogany. Oh, the list goes on.
Does it smell like rich mahogany?
It does. It smells like rich mahogany. Well, and polyurethane.
Where do we find out more about the DRC calls and these puppies that are for sale? Is there somewhere we can go see some pictures and things?
Oh, cute puppy pictures can be found on Instagram, @DRCCalls. We post new stuff there every day on our story and update pictures. We got puppy pictures all over the place. Facebook, DRC Call Company, and the website, DRCCalls.com.
Corey Loeffler, DRC Call Company, based Thief River Falls, Minnesota. Thanks for being on Sporting Journal Radio.
Thanks, Brett.
Also, my thanks to Joe Henry from Lake of the Woods and John Armand from Ultimate Outdoor Adventures. Thank you for listening. I'm Brett Amundson, and now you can listen to this show in iTunes. Subscribe now at the Sporting Journal Radio website at sportingjournalradio.com. And then make sure you take some time to spend some time in the outdoors this week.
Take me fishing, because our boat's cooler than any video game.
Take me fishing and make me feel 16 again.
Take someone you love out on the water and see where the water takes you.
Take me fishing because my wedding will be sooner than you think.
Rediscover the joy of boating and fishing. Get information and get going at takemefishing.org.
You've been listening to Sporting Journal Radio, the Midwest's radio home for the outdoors, on the Sporting Journal Radio Network. To listen to this show again, get the latest hunting and fishing news and more, visit sportingjournalradio.com.